Tom Casper's that guy standing out there in his yellow rain slicker and his multi-buckle over shoes and his yellow rain hat, and he's a man who is ready for anything. Good morning there, Sunshine.
Are you stalking me?
Yeah, well, I mean, you kind of look a little like the Gorton's fisherman.
That's
but
right.
I just, you know, either that or the way I dressed when I was five. But I just, you know, picture you this morning out there just, I don't know, planting bulbs or something.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we supposed to be doing with this?
Drinking coffee on a day like today.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. See, I could talk into gardening.
You know that you can grow. I don't. I unfortunately killed it, or my cats killed it. But I actually did buy online. I did not plant outside because it's not a native, but I did buy online a little coffee plant.
Oh.
And again, either I killed it or my cats killed it. But I have hopes of trying to nurture one again and to be a good plant parent and take good care of it. And I don't know whether I could. I don't know how much coffee you can make out of a bean, but I mean, maybe that's the kind of gardening we ought to be thinking about today, because getting outside is going to be a real challenge for a while.
That's right. Yeah, it's certainly our wet, cool summer has continued into the fall here, and for gardeners who are out making an effort this year, it certainly was a challenging year, or continues to be a challenging year. Between cool temperatures and too much rain and pests and disease, and why are we gardening? But anyway, it's still a good thing. So,
well, no plagues of frogs yet.
That's right. That's right. No frogs, no locusts. So things are good that way.
No army worms.
No army worms. So, and interestingly, I think, and I've talked to a lot of gardeners over the last 3 or 4 months, and I think that there's really been a varying degree of success. Some folks did really well with things, others not so. And a lot of it really leads back to water. And if your soil conditions are heavier clay or shaded, things like that, people have had many more challenges than folks who had amended their soil and had the right kind of light conditions to do well. So I've seen folks who are growing monstrous carrots and tomatoes and others who have struggled just to get anything off of the plant. And in some cases, they could be a few houses away or a few blocks away from each other. So it really harkens back to what we've talked about periodically over the last 2 decades.
Go ahead, rub it in.
It's really improving that soil condition as you prepare to garden and thinking about that first. Because a year like this, when we do have this so much bonus moisture, those soil conditions that you've prepared for your garden or your vegetables certainly comes into play. So.
Well, shade, you know, would make a difference for flowers and stuff. But I'm guessing that most people that are putting in a vegetable garden, for example, they want to, have already picked out a sunny, beautiful, wonderful vegetable growing spot.
Yeah, really that sunniest spot that they can find or create in their yard is where they want the vegetables. Most vegetables, excluding a few, really need or should have at least 6 hours a day of sunlight. So as we're planning our garden, or if you're in the process now of reflecting on your garden failures of 2017 and your plans for 2018, because certainly the interest in growing our own food just continues to expand and more people get involved in it and desire that. To know exactly where their food came from and hoping that it comes from their own backyard. So as folks are planning that, they really want to find that sunniest spot or look at how to create that. If they need to trim a branch or move something or place the garden in an area where there's an opportunity for the most amount of sunshine that they can get in their yard, it's really ideal and sets them up. Along with good soil conditions sets them up to have a greater chance of success in future gardens. So.
Tom, do you talk to gardeners who are kind of rolling their eyes and chuckling under their breath in that good Scandinavian tradition about, wow, grow your own food. Now there's an idea.
Yeah. The avid gardener who's been doing it for years gets a lot of times they'll get a chuckle out of things like that. And we certainly, at the same time though, a lot of them are very supportive and are so willing. You see this a lot with the master gardeners here in St. Louis County and also in Southwest County and Lake County, where they are just excited when a new gardener comes up to them and asks them how to get started. You know, you see the twinkle in their eye and the excitement in their voice as they sit down with somebody and share their past experience and share how to get things going and failures that they've had. That might help the new gardener be more successful as they get involved with it. So it's really, and certainly greenhouses and garden centers are also that way as folks are coming in and saying, I've never gardened, what should I do? You know, and the interesting thing is seeing a lot of younger folks, people in their 20s and early 30s that are really getting interested in gardening and even younger than that, many of our schools now in the area have school gardens where kids are out harvesting the vegetables that are being shared in their food programs at their schools. So whether it's North Shore Elementary or Congdon or Lester Park or Lowell, all of them are enjoying schoolyard gardens now. So, you know, kids are getting started even at young ages in gardening. So.
What about some of our older gardeners, though? Folks perhaps that grew up during the Depression or grew up in a time where, of course, you know, whether you were a farmer or whether you lived in town, you had a garden, you grew all this stuff. I know some of the older folks that I know were just really delighted when they could buy this stuff at the grocery store and they didn't have to grow it themselves. And because, you know, when you're a kid and this is part of your chores and this is part of what you've got to do, sometimes it's not as much fun.
That's right. Yeah. And I think I've seen that in what were called back at that time, of course, victory gardens. There's still a few of those that are around in the Duluth area that have been supporting communities and gardeners within their communities back into the 1930s. So there's a lot of that. And I think, you know, we sort of saw that pendulum swing and towards, you know, the convenience of buying it in the grocery store and the convenience of the processed foods and things like that. And now it's really swinging back the other way where people are more intent on knowing where that food is coming from and doing what they can to ensure that it's certain types. And of course, people have also gotten heavily involved with community-supported agriculture or CSAs where they buy a share in a local farm and get produce supplied to them weekly. So
I think parents are a little bit parents are taking a slightly different approach, though. I mean, I'm thinking about my grandfather, who was a no-nonsense man, and, anything from a missing limb was greeted with, we can't fool with that now in the busy time. You know, it was work, 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 work. And I think parents are taking a different attitude now about the garden and the food production. They want to get their kids involved, and they want to make it enjoyable for the kids so that they don't turn them off of the idea of the gardening.
Yeah, I could see where missing a limb would turn somebody off to gardening.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, my grandfather was just a, you know, you're just a big whiner. Bandage it up and get weeding, you know.
Use the other arm.
You got two of them. Was that guy. Yeah, my grandpa was that guy. And I think a lot of people perhaps had parents or grandparents, and that was kind of their attitude. And so I think today's parents are trying to get kids interested in the whole concept, and they understand that, you know, that attitude perhaps isn't going to go as far as, you know, come on, let's go and do this and this will be fun and here, eat a carrot and you'll feel better and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and gardening has changed along that lines. It's gone from gardening decades ago, gardening you have to have food on the table, to gardening now because you get to have healthy food. And there's that psychological change in encouraging kids at a young age to explore and create and taste and make some of their own gardening decisions. And I think that's really fun. And to see kids coming up that have had that for most of their lives, and they're really appreciation. And for me, I see it as they if they're taught that as a young age, have a much greater appreciation for nature around them, whether it is gardening or it's wildlife or open soil or an experience in nature, that they have a greater appreciation because they've been out in it. I'm on my soapbox here. Oops.
We can't fool with this now in the busy time. You can't keep spending all this time talking on the radio. You have gardening to accomplish.
That's right. I'm going to go dig some trenches and drain some water off.
That sounds like an excellent plan, my dear. And hey, we'll talk in a couple of weeks, okay?
You have yourself a great warm day.
You do. Mr. Casper. Tom Casper is a master gardener, and he joins us as our guest on Tips for Hardy Gardeners every other Tuesday right here on Northland Morning.